It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and welcome to this week's Outdoor Show here on KETR. We've been bringing this to you a long time, and I thoroughly enjoy the time each week that I get to spend with you. It's probably a good idea if I remind you that if you're not up at 5 o'clock on Saturday morning to hear the show on the radio, you can always go to ketr.org, and there you can listen to the archive of the show. And gosh, there's shows that are archived, I think, about maybe 6 or 7 years ago that we've done here on KETR. But I try to keep the shows varied and cover the gamut in topics each week. And usually we have a guest, and sometimes, like today, it's kind of a solo with just me and you, and I get to share with you some things that are going on in the outdoors. I would like to connect all of you with me, and I do get, in the course of a month, I get 6 or 8 emails through this show, but you can always contact me by going to catfishradio.com, catfishradio.com. There's a little tab at the top. It says email Luke, and actually that just gives you my email address. So catfishradio.com, and click on that little tab. If you have any information at all about the outdoors or a topic you'd like to discuss with me, maybe you'd like to be my guest. I'd love to, love to have you. If nobody knows everything about the outdoors, but in my career as an outdoor writer, gosh, I've had the chance to, spend time with lots and lots of sure enough experts in different facets of the outdoors. And my goal has always been to share these things that I've learned, just being a writer with you. And, of course, I write a newspaper column. I know a lot of you probably read it locally in the Greenville Herald Banner, and it runs in the Emory paper. I know that, the Terrell paper. It's actually in 51 newspapers around the state, but up in this neck of the woods, that's the places where you can read it. I guess the Greenville Herald Banner is probably the biggest up in this region, newspaper that runs the column, and it's on in that paper every Thursday. I mentioned to you in a previous show, I had the cataract surgery done on both eyes, and gosh, it's amazing to throw those glasses away and be able to see. And you can't imagine in the outdoors, unless you wear glasses, how handicapped you kind of are at times. Knocking your glasses off in the woods on limbs, and I could relate several downright comical stories that's happened to me through the years, in the woods and on the water wearing glasses. But now I can see 20/20 without them, and it's been a little over two weeks since I had the second eye done. So if that's something that you're contemplating doing, well, you might want to look into it. Find a good ophthalmologist and get them to check you out. If you're over the age of 65, Medicare has the potential to take care of the basic surgery, which is what I had. So, it's really nice not to have to wear those glasses everywhere I go, and the wind's not blowing my glasses off in a boat. The limbs are not knocking them off when I'm going in the woods. For a long time, for about 14 years, I wrote a fishing column for the Dallas Morning News back in the freelance days. And I also wrote an outdoor cooking column for the Dallas Morning News. And I still, in my column that I write for all the newspapers today, I still cover a lot of outdoor cooking, give recipes or tips on using Dutch kettles or smokers, whatever. But, one of the questions that I get asked probably more than anything else is about wild hogs. I wrote a book on hunting hogs a couple of years ago. It's Kill to Grill, The Ultimate Guide to Hunting and Cooking Wild Hogs. You can learn about it there at my website, catfishradio.com. Learn about this book. But, the question that's posed to me more than any other question regarding game is this. Luke, are these wild hogs good to eat? And it's an honest question because, you know, a lot of people have never hunted hogs or never had any to cook. Well, pork is pork, you know, it is. Now, when I was a young boy growing up in Red River County back in the 50s, I can still remember some catch pens down on Pecan Bayou that was below our house. I was raised up in Dimple community north of Clarksville, about 6 miles, right on Pecan Bayou. Back in the day, the farmers, you know, would turn their hogs out to eat when the acorns started falling. You know, that country's got a lot of red oaks and white oaks too down on the creeks, but they'd cut their hogs out and they'd be free ranging for months. And then after they cleaned up the acorn crop pretty good, they had catch pens back in the woods. And some of those old log catch pens, when I was a boy, I remember coming up on them and my dad telling me what they were. Now, in the late 50s, that practice of free-ranging hogs out in the woods like that kind of played out. But up in Oklahoma, they were still doing that. But I vividly remember some of these couple of these old catch pens that all they were back in when I saw them were just the remnants of what were stout pens back in the woods. Now, the farmers would, you know, they'd kick their hogs out. They'd farrow the hogs. They'd be born the pigs and all that. And then they'd let them out in the summer to root around and live off the land. And then in the fall, after the acorns got scarce, they would catch them. Now, and they would use corn, bait up these catch pens, I'm told. Now, I was never really there when that happened. That was a little bit even before my time. But they would bait those hogs in there, and then when they get the whole pack in there, they'd put a doe or two on them, and they'd use dogs and everything else to round them up back in the day. They'd mark those hogs with an earmark, maybe a swallow fork or a notch or two notches, whatever that individual farmer's mark was, they would do it. So that's one reason we have so many wild hogs today. But those farmers would, once they caught those pigs, now they would be like a feral hog right now. They would taste like that. You know, they'd been living off the land, eating pecans, acorns, mushrooms, forbs, and stuff like that. Now, what the farmers did, they would have their corn crop in a corn crib, and then they had penned these hogs and fatten them for a few months, couple of months, on corn. So corn adds a whole lot of good flavor to pork, a hog that's been fed corn. Now, if you think about that, today in Texas especially, many hogs are fed corn, right? Corn feeders on every tract of land that's rural that you can go to, just about where there's deer, there's probably hogs and there's probably corn feeders. So the wild hogs that we eat today are by and large corn fed to a degree. Of course, they eat everything else too, but it'd be rare to find hogs that didn't know where there was a corn feeder today in the woods. So now, if you want to get good pork, think about buying a hog. Would you go to the sales barn and buy the rankest, oldest boar in the pen? Probably not for a meat animal. So same is true with wild feral hogs. When I'm looking for a meat hog, I'm looking for one. I used to think you couldn't eat a boar that weighed much over 100 pounds. That's not true at all. Now, granted, an older boar that's running with sows, with a sounder of hogs, in actively breeding, their meat's probably not going to be as good. But a young, fat boar can be very, very good eating. It really can. Now, I used to field dress, gut, if you will, all my pork wild hogs. But I've started being real, real picky. And I bait hogs up, and I shoot them usually at night with have a Photon XT, it's an economical digital night scope that I use. Great for shooting hogs inside 100 yards, but I'll pick the ones I want to eat. I'm not out there to shoot a sounder of hogs. I want one, you know, because after that one bang, it's going to be done. The hogs are going to be vamoosing. So I'll pick a good fat, either maybe a big sow, if I can, you know, I'll take the time to identify what hog I'm shooting. And what I've started doing, and I've only done this practice for about the past year, is quarter the animals hide on in the field. It makes it so much easier than field dressing one, you know. Basically, just remove the four legs, you know, at the joints. It's real easy to do. Just cut through the hide and then right on down to the, like, to the bone there, and just remove the four quarters, and then split the hog right down the back, the hide, and then remove the two back straps. That's 90% of the meat. Of course, you do lose the ribs. And if it were a big sow that weighed, say, 200 pounds, you probably would want to keep the ribs. But on a little hog, there's not much to the ribs. Well, I'll tell you what, a recipe that I just did. We've got some buddies from Saskatchewan. Bryce Liddell and his friend Gary are down here spending a week fishing with David Hansen down at Tewakinee for blue catfish. I'm going to be with them 3 days. I've decided a couple of meals I'm going to be in charge of. So I thought some chicken fried wild pork backstrap, smothered steak, if you will. So it's actually not beef steak, it's pork. But the way I did that, and it's an awesome recipe for you, if you've never eaten wild pork, it's a good starter recipe that's guaranteed to be good. I just take the backstrap, you know, remove all the silver skin, the sinew, and then cut it into little cross sections. And then I tenderize those, you know, little steaks, if you will. And I'll use a jacquard. That's a little machine, a little hand-operated thing that will tenderize the meat. Dust it with flour, black pepper, and salt, chicken fry it, you know, put flour on it and chicken fry it, and then put it in another skillet with onion and cream of mushroom soup, and let it cook real slow. Make some of the best steaks smothered steak you've ever had. I always put rice in the pot with it, you know. But that'll be one evening meal. And if you've never cooked wild pork much, that's a foolproof way to do it. Another is barbecue. And rather than I used to do the big chunks of pork when I was barbecuing, maybe a, you know, 4 or 5 pound boneless ham, or maybe even the whole ham that might weigh, you know, 10 pounds. But I've started slicing the steaks from the ham meat and then, you know, barbecuing it in an aluminum pan in smaller pieces. And then, you know, let it cook all night. You might want to wrap it with foil. And if it's real lean, you might even want to put some bacon, lace it with bacon there, and then drain all that grease off. And, you know, we went into that a week or two ago about how to make the barbecue. But now is the time of year when there's a lot of game meat out there. You can use that with venison, wild pork, or whatever. But that is the question that more, I guess I get asked more than anything, is about how to cook the wild pork. And do remember this, if you kill a boar and he's healthy, now if he's poor and, you know, run down and has a pretty rank odor, I wouldn't fool with him. But if he's a healthy, younger animal, fat, by all means, try to remove those hams and the back straps, and chances are you'll have some really, really good pork. Folks, we are just about out of time. Do remember catfishradio.com. Larry Wysoon's there with me every week, Mr. Whitetail. You can go there and listen. And this show right here, you know, archived at ketr.org. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at ketr.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smokin' Texas Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.